The Scoop Podcast, brought to you by PPG, the official paint of the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Welcome into the latest edition of the Scoop Podcast, presented by PPG, as we welcome you inside the broadcast situation. Alongside Sam Cassatt, I'm Josh Getzoff, and our guest today, Penguins goaltender Tristan Jarry. Jarry, thanks for taking the time with us.
Thanks for having me.
I have to say, Sam and I were talking to a lot of your teammates, and when we were asking about things that we could learn to talk to you about here today, one of the first things that probably, what, Sam, 80% of the guys we talked to said was,
90.
You're talking to him for a podcast? They weren't giving us a lot to work with there. What's behind the masked man here that we can work with?
Yeah, I don't really speak too much. I guess I just try to keep quiet, keep to myself, and it's something when I'm with the guys, I'm not really too much of a jokester, so I'm pretty quiet usually around the rink.
Is that kind of the way you've always been, or when you were younger, maybe you were a little more outgoing, maybe with your high school friends or college, you know, well, not college, but high school friends or even in your youth?
No, I've always been pretty quiet. Both my parents are pretty quiet. They usually keep to themselves, so I think it just comes from my family. We've always been a quiet family.
Just sit around the dinner table and not speak.
That's usually how it was.
That's the goaltender position, maybe in a nutshell. You guys are just a little bit different, right? Like, you guys always are, I know you're by yourself for a lot of the game as far as maybe within your own thoughts and everything like that. I mean, that seems to just be kind of the personality with that.
Yeah, you're by yourself for probably 70, 80% of the game. Like, you don't get, when you don't have action, you're just standing there, you're with your own thoughts, and you just have to stay sharp the whole time.
What's going through your head when you're down there? Singing songs in your head, or
you're just kind of looking around,
checking out the crowd.
Yeah, making sure you're staying focused. When I guess when the game's not on, I'm looking at the Jumbotron quite a bit to see what's playing, just to give my mind a bit of a break.
There was one goaltender 1 year was looking at the Jumbotron in a replay, and he dropped the puck and he got scored on. Do you remember who that was?
It was Antti Niinimäki.
Is that who it was?
Against
Philly?
The Penguins. Max Talbot scored.
Yeah, yeah.
From like the neutral zone.
He was like watching the replay of a goal, and then they dropped the puck at center ice, and Max Talbot shot it from center ice, and he was still looking up, and it went in.
I do remember seeing that.
That's like got to be a goalie's worst nightmare.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely.
Let's start with Edmonton, since you were obviously here with the Oil Kings for quite a few years, and a lot of good memories, obviously, from this. And what are your memories from those runs? Obviously, a Western Hockey League title, Memorial Cup. What do you kind of remember from those championship runs?
Just all the friends and all the people that you connected with. Like, I was here for almost 4.5 years, and so just all the friends that you made and all the people that you met along the way, it's been a huge help for me, and obviously I've stayed connected with them over all this time and being on the East Coast, so it was fun to be a part of it, and it's something I'll cherish forever.
Do you want to say something nice about the billets that are
Yeah, we have a live studio audience for our listeners, by the way.
They're standing in the room.
Yeah, my billets have been with me the whole way, so it's nice that I get to give back to them a little bit and make sure that I'm able to bring them everywhere with I go. They usually come out to Pittsburgh or Wilkes-Barre once a year and watch me play a couple of games, so I'm very thankful that they've done that, and I try and do the best I can give back to them.
I feel like that's a unique thing with hockey too, especially in the junior ranks. You know, the billet situation, obviously you're from British Columbia, so not necessarily going super far to come here to Edmonton when you played your junior hockey, but at the same time, I'm sure stepping a little bit out of your comfort zone, and I know you're not the only one in that Penguins dressing room that dealt with something like that when you went and played junior, or, you know, you just left your natural hockey playing spot to go pursue your career in another destination. How much of a role do they play in just helping you develop maybe off the ice with things that you wouldn't think about?
Yeah, it was huge. I got placed with a family first that wanted to travel a little bit more, so then I got placed in my second billet family probably 2 or 3 weeks later, and I didn't know at that point if I was going to stay with Edmonton or not, or if they were going to send me back to British Columbia for another year of development. So I'm very thankful that I got to spend the year with the team, and we ended up going a long way and making all the way to the Memorial Cup, and obviously your billets play a huge part in that. They're there for all the ups and downs, and they cook you all your meals. They do everything for you, so I'm very thankful for that, and I have 2 lifelong friendships I'll have for the rest of my life.
How hard is it to leave home too? A lot of people don't think about that. You're moving away from your own home.
Yeah, it's difficult when you're 16 years old to just get up and go. It's something that your billets play a huge part of, and I have a brother at home, and moving in, I was going from being the oldest to the youngest, so it's something that took a little bit to get used to, but it was fun. It made my transition a lot easier.
When you're a junior hockey goaltender, or a junior hockey player for that matter, to win the Memorial Cup, for you, is that something that, you know, when you're growing up, you're looking to do that? Is that a goal of yours? I mean, obviously, you know, Sam and I grew up in the United States, and junior is not necessarily something you're looking at initially. You want to go play college, but for you guys over north of the border here in Canada, I assume that, you know, to continue your hockey career, you want to play junior, but then after that, the goal is to win the championship in junior, and you were able to backstop a team to do that.
Yeah, it's the pinnacle of junior hockey. It's not something that every kid gets to do growing up, and I was very thankful that I got to play for the Oil Kings, and we had four great teams every year I was there, and it was something that happened over the year. Just the team came together quicker and quicker after every game, and I think that's what helped us a lot. We weren't really one of the most high-scoring teams or the strongest teams. I think we were just one of the teams that came together the fastest and were able to continue that throughout the year.
Looking ahead to Vancouver a little bit, you said you grew up 20 minutes away from the rink?
Yeah.
So were you a Canucks fan as a kid?
Yeah, I was always a Canucks fan. It seemed like every night my parents got home for work, we had a hockey game on the TV or we were playing hockey in the basement just with our sticks and a tennis ball. So it was something that I guess we grew up with.
Did you go to a lot of games?
Yeah, my parents actually had season tickets with their company, two rows behind the Longo. So
oh, nice.
Watched a lot of Longo.
Is he a guy that you idolized growing up? Did you have certain goaltenders that you really liked?
I really liked Dan Cloutier.
Okay.
He was
that's a throwback.
He was one of the first Vancouver goalies I watched, and then there was Alex Auld, Johan Hedberg, so I went through quite a few.
He's a goaltending coach, I believe, now for Vancouver,
yep.
Right? Do you get to connect with him at all, just kind of crossing paths in the NHL the last couple of seasons? Or?
Funny thing is, when he was on interviewed me for my 2013 draft, so it was pretty cool to see. And when he asked me, he asked who my favorite goalie was, and I said him. He said, I had a poor childhood.
That's a good line.
We understand there's a massive dog that you
yeah,
can tell us a little bit about that?
I have a massive dog. he's a 185-pound English Mastiff. He's fawn color, and he's named Diesel.
Diesel. Appropriate. I think Jim Rutherford has Mastiffs, right?
Yeah, he's got two bull Mastiffs.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You guys bond over that at all?
Yeah, we do.
His 180 pounds, that seems like a lot. For
his are a little bit smaller, but...
Diesel, too. I like the name.
It's perfect. It's fitting. Well, your grandparents have an interesting story. You were telling me they live in Mexico and travel the entire world. And
yeah, they've lived in Mexico, and then my dad's side's lived in Florida and Arizona, and my grandparents and my mom's side actually traveled through Vietnam and everything last year. They spent 6 months there just going from hotel to hotel.
In Vietnam?
Yeah.
In different cities in Vietnam?
Yeah, walking around. And so I guess that was their plan when they retired, was just travel the world.
Is that in you? Do you have that urge to travel and see all these different places?
Not right now.
I mean,
all the traveling that we do, I think that's enough.
That's fair. That's a fair point.
So you grew up in Surrey, correct?
North Delta.
North Delta. How close is that to Surrey?
About rock's throw.
Because then Hockey Reference is wrong. So well, I don't know how many times Hockey Reference is wrong, but obviously we trust you where you're from. But in any event, you know, I wanted to ask you a little bit about the Olympics that were there in 2010. Did you have a chance to see anything live there, or were you kind of watching from a distance? What was it like? I actually was there. I was working for NBC in those Olympics. It was my first taste of Vancouver, and I loved it. But from your perspective, growing up in the area and seeing it become kind of like the center of the sports world, not just hockey, that had to have been pretty cool.
Yeah, we went to all the hockey games, and then we were a part of the opening ceremony and the closing ceremony, just with all the lights and the pieces of paper, I guess, that you had to hold up for the TV. So it was pretty cool to be a part of, and it was something that obviously I'll remember forever. It was cool watching Sydney score the goal there and then being on his team now.
Yeah.
Were you at the game, the gold medal game?
Well, yeah, that was a cool moment. And I remember, I think it started with Wayne Gretzky running down the street with the Olympic torch, right?
Yeah.
That would have been cool,
too. It started outside, and we were inside the arena at BC Place, and then he ran outside, and then you just see it on the Jumbotron what was happening.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you see, and all the lights went off, and everything lit up.
Yeah, that was really cool. I remember the big thing with that Olympics was that they couldn't get – snow to Whistler.
No.
Because the weather was not cooperating. They had to like manufacture fake snow up in Whistler with that.
Yeah.
Is that a common up there? Or I feel like that's a pretty big skiing destination, Whistler.
Yeah, Whistler is. Vancouver, we probably get snow once or twice a year and it's gone within a couple hours. So it's, they knew they weren't going to have it in Vancouver for all the winter sports or I guess snow sports. Mm. So it was just a matter of poor timing with the snow, I guess, for there.
It's kind of a crazy story.
Yeah.
So you got to see Luongo obviously win the gold medal too.
Yeah.
So kind of full circle for you in that sense. Did you go to just the gold medal game or did you go to all the games in the
No, we went to quite a few. I think we went to Finland and Czech and it was 3-2 Finland or something.
How old were you at that time?
Oh, 10 maybe.
So you're just a wee boy.
Yeah.
That must have been pretty cool though. I mean, you see like the best players on the planet with all these different countries right in your backyard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was pretty cool. We went, spent a day up in Whistler, and then we did the ceremony and then watched a couple of games. So it was pretty cool, and it was pretty cool to see how many people came in for Vancouver and everything that happened. Like, you still see today all the Olympic cars driving around and still everything from that happened at the Olympics.
Was there an event that you went to or that you watched there that you had maybe never seen live before that you kind of thought, wow, this is pretty incredible, something that just as maybe unique to the Winter Olympics?
No, not really. Just growing up in Vancouver, we always had a little bit of everything. Like, we got the ski hill.
That's true.
An hour away. We have Whistler's 2.5, and then you're right on the ocean, too. So you get a little bit of everything there. And I was very fortunate to grow up there, and my parents were able to take me to all those things.
So you said you watched Sidney Crosby score the winning goal, and now you're his teammate. Going back to the draft, what was it like when you found out the Penguins had selected you and that you were going to be part of the Penguins organization?
It was pretty cool. Like, I think Winnipeg had a couple picks before that, and I was sitting with my dad and my brother, and my dad just kind of leaned over to me and he said, "You're going to be picked next," without even knowing it. And then I think Columbus traded their pick, and then Pittsburgh got it, and I ended up getting picks next. So
yeah,
it was pretty cool.
Traded up, yeah.
Yeah.
So what was going through your head, like, this is real, this is really happening?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was one of those moments of shock where you're kind of just so excited and you just kind of black out, and then you walk down and you get escorted and you get the jersey on, and then it's just a million people crowding you with interviews.
Is that when it feels real? Like when you got the jersey and you're on the, you know, meeting all the GM and the coach and everybody that's there?
I think kind of after it is when I went and I got picked and everything was all done, and I went and met my dad and brother back in the Penguins box is when it kind of felt surreal to me.
What's the first person you think of in something like that? Like, is there a guy or is it a woman that comes to mind as far as just having an impact on you when you realize your dream and get drafted?
Just my parents. My parents were there to take me to practice, cook me meals, make sure I'm always on time. I think I was never late for a practice. I was always at least 2 hours early, so I think that was something that always helped me, and I'm very fortunate for them.
You put a lot of work in not only the Wilkes-Barre Scranton to get to where you are now, but a couple years down there. Where do you think your game has matured or maybe improved from the moment you were drafted and becoming part of the Penguins organization to where it is now?
Just with Andy and Mike, and obviously Mike Bales as well, I think they played a huge role in developing my game and just making sure that I was always at my best. They were always pushing me. I think that was an element that I was missing from my game, was just my practice habits, and they were always pushing me and always wanting me to strive to be my best. And I think that was something that I embraced and something that helped my game a lot.
And you look back at those years in Wilkes-Barre, like really paying your dues and riding the bus and having to go through all that to get to where you are, makes you appreciate it even more?
Yeah, I love playing in Wilkes-Barre. It was a lot of fun, and I met a lot of great people there, and there's a lot of people that I'll always remember, and I think it's one of the cities that's a great hockey city, and it was great to play in the American League with them, and I loved every second of it.
When you were named the NHL's second star of the week a couple weeks ago, you had the media horde crowding around your stall, and I happened to be standing on the other side of the room across from you with Matt Murray, and he's like, look at them all looking at Jars. They love him. He's a star now. But I guess my point there is that this seems to be a relationship with the two of you that's a pretty good one. And I know that in these situations, you could always see guys get competitive with one another, and I'm sure there is that to an extent, but I even noticed after you guys beat Calgary to begin this road trip that he was right there to greet you with a big smile and a big hug, and I've seen you do the same for him when he's been winning games earlier this year. How much has that helped, too, just having that kind of a relationship with a guy that you're clearly friends with just beyond just being his teammate?
Yeah, he's my best friend. We've been best friends ever since we've been in Wilkes-Barre, and I think even before that, like we were talking about on the bus as we went to the outdoor rink the other day, is we had the memories of going to the Hockey Canada at the Olympic Village. So it was one of those things that we shared for a while, and just we were both drafted to Pittsburgh at that time, so we bonded over that, and that's how we got to know each other. And then just playing in Wilkes-Barre, we kind of attached to each other. We both had a lot of common things that we like, both big dogs and
I was about to say, yeah,
big dogs and trucks. So
big goalie thing.
It helped a lot, and almost every road trip we go for dinner, and it's a lot of fun, and it's fun doing it with your best friend.
How much has he been a mentor to you too? Because the guy's got obviously 2 Stanley Cups on his resume. I'm sure you go to him for advice or help or situations like that. Because I feel like goaltenders, it's a lonely road because you can't really go to a defenseman or forward and explain. You need the other goaltender that can really understand what you're going through.
Yeah, it's huge. Like every time I go back to the bench, he's always telling me what he sees, and when he comes to the bench, I'm telling him what I see, and I think it helps us a lot because you have 2 eyes on the game basically, where sometimes you might not have that. So I think coming back to the bench and he's telling me and giving me pointers, that's huge for me, and it makes me feel better about my game as well.
Well, the pointers helped you set a franchise record shutout streak of 177 minutes, 15 seconds. Has that really sunk in for you yet, or do you pinch yourself, or how's it feel having your name in the record books for the Penguins franchise?
It's pretty cool. It's never something I really thought of or anything that I really strive for. It's something that I just want to play my best at all times and get better and better every day. I think it was just something that comes with hard work.
Did you know going into that game that you had a chance to set the record?
I didn't know what the record was. I knew what Mark's record was, I think, the 2 years ago.
Okay, yeah.
But I didn't know what the actual record was.
So you just went in not knowing that you could
hit. Yeah.
Okay. Because we were all up in the press box.
And we were counting.
We were counting down the minutes, like, hoping we get it. And
I knew.
He's got to get to the second period with 8 minutes left.
All I knew was the first period. I had to get 6 minutes in to pass Mark in 2014, 2015.
So and you then, were watching the clock a little bit.
But I didn't know any more past that.
You didn't know Thomas Vokoun's.
No, I didn't know he was number one.
No, you're number one.
Right. One thing that I thought was cool after that was you were asked about the streak, and you said that, you know, when you get back in net next, you're going to start another one, and then you did shut out the Columbus Blue Jackets in your next game. How much of that do you think is a little bit more of the maturity aspect that you talked about, maybe just the practice habits, but also maybe the mental approach as well?
Yeah, I think it's huge. Like, I think going in and wanting to stop every puck is a huge thing for me. Like, I want to stop every puck. I want to stop every puck in practice. I want to be able to push the guys to really make their best shot to score on me.
You also can stick handle a little bit, too. You got a goal in your resume. You can kind of walk us through the goal that you scored in the American Hockey League at Springfield.
I tried a couple times. I tried once earlier and against
tried on Tuesday
on Hershey. And actually, Dustin Tokarski threw a stick and stopped it. So that was one where...
That's one you should have had, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I tried.
That
was my first try, and then it happened later on in the year. They dumped it right in on me, and I had quite a bit of time. I looked up, and they were changing, so I just threw it down, and I got a lucky bounce, and it went in.
I guess because I watch you in practice every day, and you don't practice shooting into the net, so like, where does the instinct come? Because obviously you've got to get a trajectory up so it clears all the players, but kind of like punt it in a way so that it lands and skeets in. Like, is this something you used to work on, or is it just kind of natural?
No, I think it's just something that's come natural. I've always wanted to score, and I always thought about it, but it was always something that was very tough to do. Just with the players, as soon as you get the puck, they're obviously coming straight at you, so it's something where just getting off as quick as you can was always my thought.
And where do you develop that kind of stick handling? Because it seems like some goaltenders are really good at it, some are really bad at it. It seems like it's such a natural thing for some, and so easy and then so difficult for others. For you, is it a natural thing? You just kind of have a comfort with it?
Yeah, it just came natural to me. just playing around with the puck, I guess, before practice and shooting and just thinking about where I want to shoot and seeing if I can actually hit it. That was always my thought and always something that I practiced, I guess.
Were you always a goalie? So you developed that kind of just with the goaltending stick, or did you play out that maybe helped a little bit in the beginning of things?
I played out for quite a bit. I always played out playing winter hockey, and then goalie I played in summer hockey just because we didn't have many goalies and there was only one goalie on our summer team, so I got to play a lot.
Okay.
So then winter hockey, we always rotated, so I always liked skating.
And the most important thing about being a goalie is having a nice mask, right? The fancy design.
Exactly.
Where did the Tom and Jerry come from?
It came when I played in Edmonton. It was one of those things where I didn't really have anything to start, so my first helmet was actually zombies. I had zombies all over it.
Did you choose zombies?
I did, and it was a very poor decision.
Were you like a Walking Dead fan at the time or something?
It was a Walking Dead helmet with zombies. So then we had two Europeans, Christian Pelz and Marty Gernat, and they'd always say, Tom, where's your cat? Or Jerry, where's the mouse? So then I kind of thought about it a little bit. I was like, I could do the play on with that. And then with Christian passing away the next year or 2 years after that, I thought that would be a great thing to, I guess, always think of him.
To kind of honor him in a way?
Yeah.
How hard is that when you see something like that, the tragedies that can strike, and kind of puts everything in perspective too?
Yeah, it's huge. Like, it was something that was unexpected for all of us, and it's hard when you're that young and you're that close and you're with them every day and you're spending every second with them basically at the rink on road trips. So it was something that hit our team pretty hard, and it's something I think helped our team and brought our team a little bit closer as well.
And for the mask, I know you had fans also design, you had a contest, didn't you?
Yeah.
Where did that idea come from, and what did you think of the final design?
It was awesome. The girl that designed it did an awesome job, and my only rule was I had to have Tom and Jerry incorporated in it, so that was the only rule that I had, and I had a lot of great designs come in, and it was very hard to pick. And
did you actually pick?
Yeah, I picked. And then
how many designs do you think came in?
I think close to 50.
Oh wow,
that's
a lot. That's a lot. So there was a lot of graphic designs. There were some people that drew them. There
were artists in Wilkes-Barre.
Yeah. So then I think just I wanted to help out. I knew Wilkes-Barre was really big with Big Brothers and Big Sisters, so it was something that they always came to us during the year and asked if anybody wanted to help, and I thought it would be a good thing to start with my helmet. In every game I gave tickets to a couple people who wanted to come and their parents, and then I gave them a gift basket, and I think it really brought them, like, most of the people that did come to the game was their first ever hockey game. So it was awesome to see, and hopefully you made a couple fans out of it that enjoy hockey now.
And you were named AHL Man of the Year for that too.
Yeah, it was something that the team really helped me with. I went there with ideas and they were able to accommodate all the ideas, and Vaughn donated me a helmet, and I asked Dana if I was able to get another paint job for my helmet, and then that's how the design came around. And then with all the tickets and everything, Pittsburgh helped a lot just with all the legal side of it, and it worked out great, and we were able to raise a lot of money for the Big Brothers and Big Sisters in Wilkes-Barre.
And why Big Brothers Big Sisters? Just, I know there's so many charities, obviously you could pick anyone. Is there a certain reason that you chose that one in particular?
Just all the young kids, like you see all the underprivileged kids that maybe don't get books or anything, so it was a big thing that I was able to do that for them, get them all books, get them all school supplies, and I think that was something that helped them get a long way and go a long way and just basically start somewhere, I guess.
And you obviously feel the responsibility of the role that you have. How does it make you feel when you see the changes, the positive changes in these kids, and maybe when their faces light up when they get these opportunities to either come to games or meet you after the games?
It was huge. Like, you see, it was kind of a little bit awkward at first because they didn't really know who they were meeting or why they were meeting him. So it was just something where we talked for about 10-15 minutes and we took some pictures, and I asked them how the game went, if they enjoyed it, if they wanted to come back, and I got very positive feedback. So it was something that I loved doing, and I was very happy that Wilkes-Barre was able to help me do it.
Have you continued to try to pursue stuff with Big Brothers Big Sisters in Pittsburgh since coming back up here?
Yeah,
or is that kind of on the radar?
It's definitely on the radar, and it's definitely something that I want to start again and see if I'm able to do here as well. I think it's a huge help, and especially in the role that we're in, we're able to help a lot, and people definitely take good to designing a helmet, so hopefully I could do that in the near future.
Was there a helmet that you thought was the coolest for goaltenders when you were growing up? I mean, Dan Cloutier had no design, if I remember.
Yeah, he had the yeah. old school with the little cage.
He just had the Canuck logo.
Just
on the
cage,
sides.
Yeah.
I always liked Marty Turco.
Okay.
Just because he had, like, the mirror paint with the goblin. Mm-hmm. And I always thought that was cool because nobody else really had a shiny helmet at the time or any of the mirror paint. And now you see how many people do it around the NHL. So it's something that I always thought was cool growing up.
Do you have a specific person that designs your helmets?
I do Shia LaBrush now, and then I used Jason Bartoszak out of Jasper before, and that's who's always designed my helmet is those two.
You just say, all right, get Tom and Jerry in there and the rest is up to you, or do you give them a little bit of feedback?
No, to say anything with Tom and Jerry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else you work into your helmets aside from the Tom and Jerry? Is there any, like, you know, initials or anything like that go in there?
I've always done my grandpa on the back plate, and then my first couple helmets I did Play for Pels, and okay. Other than that, I haven't really done too much. Like, my uncle had a heart attack this year, so every year we'd always go fishing, so this year I have Tom and Jerry fishing.
Oh.
And I have the mouse catching the cat with a fishing rod. I got the hockey stick with a fishing line on, so I did that for him this year.
What's your uncle's name?
Derek Ames.
Does he know about the helmet?
Yeah. Okay.
How'd that make him feel? That gotta be kind of cool that you were thinking about him and care about him.
Yeah, it was something that was pretty emotional, and it hit our family pretty hard, so it was something that I thought I could do for him.
All right, I got some rapid fire for you now. This is getting to know Tristan Jari.
Okay.
What's your binge on Netflix?
Right now it's the Shooter series.
The Shooter? I don't know that one, do you?
Nope.
What's it about?
It's kind of like the Shooter movie.
Okay, I've seen the movie.
And they've made, a series out
okay.
of it.
All right, music? You have a favorite style artist?
Country.
Country?
Good.
What are you listening to right now? Luke Combs?
Going to the Luke Combs concert a couple of weeks ago, so.
Did you go in, PPG? How was
it? Chill.
It was awesome.
It gets up. You went, right?
I was there. Yeah, that was awesome.
So both big fans, huh?
Yeah.
We were sitting right near each other.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
He was right behind me.
Yeah, I was trying to keep my composure, you know. I was way more excited to
see
Luke
him
Combs.
Stand up a couple times.
Was he singing it? Was he belting it out?
I was a little hoarse the next day. Thank God we didn't have a game.
I see you got a couple tattoos. Any ones with a special meaning to you?
On my shoulder, I have an angel with a hockey stick. This is for my grandpa, same one that's on my helmet, just looking over me while I play. And then I have Live Your Dreams on my other bicep. Just, I guess, I got it at a young age. And it's something that I always thought was cool.
Thank you so much, Tristan. We appreciate it.
After recording our podcast with Tristan, he went off to St. Louis to take part in the NHL's All-Star Game and Skills Competition. He took part in the breakaway contest, where the goaltenders were expected to make as many consecutive saves on breakaways as they could. Then, of course, he suited up for the Metro Division in the NHL's All-Star Game Tournament Competition. Though the Metro Division did not win, they did have an incredible showing, and it was an incredible weekend overall. I had a chance to catch up with Tristan and continue our conversation and get his take on the entire weekend. What was it like being named to the All-Star team and getting that kind of recognition?
It was exciting. It was exciting because my parents were actually there in Vegas when I found out, so it was cool to be able to tell them in person, and then just being able to go is such an honor.
What was that whole experience like, being there, being among these stars, the whole festivities that go into it?
It's cool. You don't really see from a player standpoint. I've always watched it on TV and got to see it from that view, but being able to be a part of it and being with some of the best players in the world is pretty neat.
And how about the skills competition? I know you're part of the consecutive save category.
It was fun. It's hard. You don't realize how hard it is. You have to make as many consecutive saves as you can and then try and start a run over and over. So I think it was fun to be a part of, and it's definitely something to learn.
And what about the game? I mean, going against all these great stars, 3-on-3 format. Has to be almost a nightmare for goaltenders.
Yeah, you see how fast it is during the season, and then just there you have all the best players in the world going shift after shift, so it's fun to go up against them, and it's fun to try and stop them.
I know you were an all-star, but it seems like Alex Letang was the real all-star of the weekend. How about him stealing the show?
Yeah, I think that's great for Chris that he's able to bring his son Alex, and then Alex just had as much fun with it. I think he enjoyed it as much as he could, and I think he had the most fun of all.
Thanks once again to Tristan Jari for joining us on the Scoop Podcast. Once again, my name is Sam Kassan. For my partner in crime, Josh Getzoff, our executive producer, Wayne Gretzky-Anderson, that'll wrap it for another edition of the Scoop Podcast, brought to you by PPG.